This is Tim Hudak on the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
Oh, come on. I know you're like me. This song's been running through your head all weekend.
Aruba, Jamaica, ooh, I wanna take ya. Bermuda, Bahama, come on, pretty mama. Key Largo, Montego, baby, why don't we go? Jamaica, off the Florida Keys. There's a place called Kokomo.
I've got this song in my head ever since Friday, and you ain't taking mama to Kokomo, Jamaica, Bermuda, Bahamas. Too bad to tell pretty mama to put off that vacation plan. The Prime Minister lays down the travel ban on Friday that kicked in many aspects today. Here's what he said if you had hoped to go to a so-called sun destination.
The government and Canada's main airlines have agreed to suspend service to sun destinations right away. Air Canada, WestJet, Sunwing, and Air Transat are canceling air service to all Caribbean destinations and Mexico starting this Sunday up until April 30th.
So that hit today goes right through the end of April. You heard it from the PM himself. No trips for you to the sunny south. Unless, of course, you want to go to Florida or Texas or the Gulf Coast of California. But no, you're not going to Kokomo. And if you are coming back into our country, you're a snowboard or such, you're going to face some new tests when you land. Here's what he said.
In addition to the pre-boarding test we already acquire, as soon as possible in the coming weeks, we will be introducing mandatory PCR testing at the airport for people returning to Canada.
And then, of course, if you are tested at the airport and you're found to be a positive test, whether you're Canadian, you're a visitor from another country, here's what happens to you.
Those with negative test results will then be able to quarantine at home under significantly increased surveillance and enforcement. Those with positive tests will be immediately required to quarantine in designated government facilities to make sure they're not carrying variants of potential concern.
Supervised government facilities. Oh, man, this is simply irresistible. That's another song. Are you ready for this, Ontario? I think you are. Let's play You Make the Call.
The Bell Talk Radio Network presents You Make the Call.
You heard, starting today, a ban on flights to and from so-called sun destinations in the Caribbean and Mexico. Mandatory COVID testing when you arrive home in Canada, and 3 days of mandatory quarantine at a government-approved hotel. I don't know what the rating system is. 2 stars? At your own expense, up to $2,500, the Prime Minister estimates. If you test positive, then you quarantine at a frightening-sounding government-designated facility. Harsh new travel restrictions, about time, say some. People who are traveling abroad are selfish, aren't they? Aren't they jeopardizing your life, especially with these new scary COVID variants? So this is the least the Prime Minister could do. Others say, hey, hold on, Tim, this is overkill. Less than 2% of the cases are traced to international travel. And why, if you test positive at work, you get sent home, but here you get sent to the government-designated facility? The Trudeau travel hammer. The right move by the PM, or way too harsh a penalty on grandma and grandpa simply coming home from the snowboard trip this spring? You make the call.
Now, dial 1-877-518-5151. And you make the call.
Just imagine I'm doing a search on government facility for my vacation plans. Holy cats. All right. So I was harshing somewhat on Prime Minister Trudeau on previous shows. I'm Tim Hudak. You're listening on the iHeartRadio Network across Southern Ontario and, well, cast through the internet as well across our great country, Canada. So it appeals to you, Vancouver, Halifax as well. And PEI has been locked down for months, so who cares about them? But I was saying the prime minister wants an election this year. There is no doubt about it. We saw last year the governments in Saskatchewan, that's the Saskatchewan Party, right-leaning, the New Democrats in British Columbia, and the Progressive Conservatives in New Brunswick all won majority governments as a result of COVID management. The prime minister's window may have closed. There's an election happening right now in Newfoundland and Labrador. The governing Liberals may win that one. But I said, you know what? There's not that much the federal government really is responsible for. Most of the weight, the biggest burden by far on the shoulders of Premier Ford, other premiers, and then on our mayors, Mayor Tory, Mayor Watson, and others across our province. The federal guys just said they hand out the checks. They look concerned and sad. Their main responsibility, airports, vaccine distribution. Vaccine distribution, not going so hot. We had these stories we covered in the iHeartRadio network about a week or so ago about flights coming in from countries like Haiti without getting a COVID test. A lot of pressure on Trudeau. He brings down the hammer. Is this a winner for him? Or is it government overreach? 877-518-5151 or text me at 71010. We are playing. You make the call of the Trudeau travel hammer. I got Calvin calling in. Calvin, the prime minister lays down the law on Friday, kicked in aspects today. More to be announced later about exactly what these government-approved hotels are going to be like. Where do you come down? You make the call, Calvin.
I don't trust Trudeau. He's proven himself to be a liar. He said everything that he thought people wanted to hear prior to him being elected by people who were afraid of Harper, but they're both on the same team of deceivers, liars, and destroyers. With regards to...
All right, so you're negative on Trudeau. I get that, Calvin. I got to pause you for a second. Let's get your negative on Trudeau. Let's get to the issue. Like, surely he's not lying about this, right? Like, he's going to put these into place. Some will take longer in terms of the testing at the airports not right away available and what the hotels will be and what the government-approved facilities are going to look like. But don't you think this is the right move? Isn't it in line with most public opinion?
Some of the public opinion, if there's a psychological operations with regards to propaganda, misinformation, fear-mongering that is incentivized, meaning people are being paid a lot of money to push fear-mongering, I don't go the way of the sheep or the herd. I don't believe in herd mentality. I mean, hundreds
of years Calvin,
ago,
I got you, man. I got to keep moving. I appreciate the call. Calvin, thanks. Calvin says he's not a sheep. He doesn't believe in the herd mentality. Calvin, I could tell at his core, think this is wrong, and if he was against Trudeau before, he's against him even more now. 877-518-5151, text at 71010. I've got my own sort of mental note on where this policy is going to land with the public, but I love doing the temperature check in the iHeartRadio network here on the Tim Hudak Show. Let's keep a rolling. Francine calling in. We're playing You Make the Call, Francine. Calvin says we're sheep if we like this, or
today
the premier is actually roaring like a lion.
Totally agree with it. What I'm not agreeing is, like, well, first of all, I think it should have been done a long time ago. And the one thing I don't agree with, though, is that, like, they could have done this prior to Christmas when the cases were going up. I guess maybe the UK variant wasn't in. They didn't know enough information back then, but I mean, it's still a scary thing, but I think it's got to be done. But the one thing I don't agree with is the $2,000 for 3 days. Like, are they staying at the Chateau Laurier, or what's the case there?
I don't know. It may be hotels are the biggest contributors to a political party. May get the long list of people coming in.
Well, not that I'm going away. I'm not going to risk that. But another thing is about, what about the people coming from the States, from Florida, yep, and that sort of thing? Are they getting the same treatment as well? And I think if not, they should.
Well, Francine, I'm pretty sure about this. We'll see what other callers have to say. Francine, thank you very much for playing You Make the Call. And keep moving, 877-518-5151, Texas 71010. Francine says, you know, what about people coming back from Florida or the States? Are they treated the same way? And the answer is yes. If you're coming back from Florida, you're a snowbird, you will still have to be tested at the airport. If you test positive, you're not heading back to your Canadian place. You're heading to the, well, you head to the hotel anyway. And if you test positive, you're heading to the government-approved facility. Doesn't matter where you're coming from. The one difference, Francine, is while the government has worked with the airlines to ban trips to the sun destinations, no flights to or from the Caribbean, Mexico, you can still fly back and forth to Florida and the USA. Let's keep moving on this. I knew it would be a hot topic. The prime minister making a gutsy call here. I think the prime minister, a few texters have said, he's just trying to distract from the debacle that has become of the quarantine, sorry, the vaccine policy. That's a fair point. The vaccine now rate has dropped, what, about 22nd or 23rd of countries around the world, falling behind some countries like Bahrain, for goodness sakes. But I don't think this is just a distraction. I think he's reading public opinion. He is being hammered for not doing more at the airports. And there's only so many levers you're going to pull. Politician wants to say, hey, I'm Superman. I have to stop COVID. I'm going to do it. I'm going to protect you. So you pull a lever. And he pulled this one hard. I'm going to do one more call, and we'll keep those on the line before our break. John, you're calling in on the Tim Hudak Show. John, we're playing You Make the Call. I think the Prime Minister is going too far.
Hey, Ben, how's it going, man? Yeah, I agree with the Prime Minister, man. If anything, he's not going far enough. Like, I personally believe that this should have been shut down a long time ago. At least, you know, shut down everything for a month. Like, we're shutting down all these essential, non-essential places, but we're still letting people go to the beach. Like, you know what I mean? It doesn't make any sense. If we were to shut down for a month and help bring the numbers down, then maybe things would have been different. You know,
so would you go? So you would go even further, like we're shutting down the travel to the Caribbean and Mexico.
Yeah.
So we're going to Kokomo. Does Kokomo actually exist, John? Is there a place called Kokomo?
Gosh, you got me, man. I don't know.
Yeah, but you would say other countries, whether it's the U.S., U.K., Japan, France, China, whatever, you would say shut them all down.
So I say that, you know, unless you're essentially traveling for work and it's legit, then yeah, you can travel. But if people are going on, you know, visit family, going to the beach, doing stuff like that, like, we can't even go into Canadian Tire right now. So
going to Canadian Tire. All right, John, I got to wrap here. I got to appreciate it. So the other callers hanging on here, I've got Bob and I've got Alan. Hang in there. I want to get your call as well. We're playing You Make the Call. The Prime Minister lays down the law. He throws it down the gauntlet, looking strong. Is he making the right call? We'll play You Make the Call. It continues next.
Tim Hudak continues on the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
I'm being called out on my Where is Kokomo? So they're saying Kokomo, Indiana. Okay, you're right. There's a Kokomo, Indiana, but the Beach Boys aren't singing about that. There's a Kokomo, Arkansas. Maybe there is a bit farther south. And Kokomo, Hawaii. Well, it turns out it's a fictional place off the Florida Keys. But if you wanted to go there, if it existed, you can't. Here's the other song I'm going to be listening to tonight after the show.
Nibbling on sponge cake, watching the sun bake. All of those tourists.
It's kind of like January 31st. I don't know if I can have a margarita. That's, of course, wasting away in Margaritaville. All you snowbirds still listening to the Tim Hudak Show down in Florida Keys, wasting away in Margaritaville looking for your lost shaker salt. Well, you better find it. You're going to need it when you come back to Canada. Snowbirds, Grandma and Grandpa are coming home. Get this. Grandma and Grandpa are coming home. I can make a good argument that they've been safer and probably healthier in Florida than sitting here in Ontario freezing to death. And then you're going to tell Grandma that she's got to go stay in a hotel, despite the fact she owns a place. She probably got a vaccine. Hey, maybe this is Prime Minister Trudeau's revenge for all the snowbirds on the nightly news every night lined up getting their vaccines in Florida because they can't get them in Canada. So they're going to pay a little price for embarrassing the Prime Minister. All right, let's keep rolling here. Prime Minister Trudeau laid down the gauntlet. Here's another piece when the Prime Minister talked about private security to check up on you.
We are increasing the number of calls we're making from the federal government. We're hiring private security firms to help with those follow-up. And, of course, there will be a particular focus given on returning travelers who've gone through the process of the three-day test results when they come back.
Oh, God, look at this. A knock on your door from private security hired by the Prime Minister. Look, I'm just flabbergasted. I know it's popular. I'm going to keep going through the calls here, and I'll tell you after this segment about the breakdown in texts, which have been a huge number on this topic. Again, we're playing You Make the Call, 877-518-5151, or text me at 71010. Do you agree with the Prime Minister's move to bring down the hammer when it comes to travel? But my goodness, imagine a year and a half ago, I would have told you if you're coming coming back to Canada, you'd have to stay in a hotel at $2,000. And then you have government inspectors coming by your house to make sure you actually are staying at home. And if you test positive, you have to go to a government-approved facility. Oh, my God. It is amazing how the line has changed in terms of what we put up with, the sacrifices in our freedoms, how government can take that away and play to our fear of the other. And I think a little bit here, jealousy against international travelers. Maybe this is me, but holy cats. I never would imagine this a year and a half ago. Let's keep going here, right, Alan. Thank you for your patience. Alan, you called in. You're playing You Make the Call. You think the Prime Minister is going to win an election with this bold move?
Oh, hell no. Because...
All right, tell me why, Alan.
Huh? Sir,
go ahead.
No, I
keep going, man.
Because I used to be a snowbird. 6 months here, 6 months in Florida. There are three places in the Florida Keys called Kokomo. They're bars.
Oh, really?
Yep. Now,
well, that wasn't the main topic of the debate tonight. Yeah.
And he just has bandage solutions, so he looks good. And
you think he's picking on snowbirds here?
Sorry, what was that?
You think he's picking on snowbirds here just to play to envy or to play to fear?
No, he just wants the next elections what he wants. And frankly,
well,
I will never, ever, ever vote liberal or conservative because they both lie. And, well, that's basically it.
All right, Alan. Thanks for making the point. I got to keep moving here. I got a stack of calls here, Alan. Appreciate it. Former snowbird Alan says, this isn't fair to snowbirds. It's not fair to Canadians. It's going too far just to score election points. All right, I got Bob calling in. Bob, you're playing on You Make the Call on the Tim Hudak Show. Prime Minister, yeah. Is he making the right call?
Yeah, well, I think it's electoral optics. Personally, I think they should have been locked these airports and traveled down 6 months ago, personally. And I think it should be everybody coming in be tested. And let's make sure that we're not bringing this COVID variant into Ontario. And I think he's like the guy in the scriptures, had a change on the road to Damascus.
On the road to the election campaign. Bob, thanks for playing Make the Call. Good to hear your voice again. Bob points out, you know, a big reason for this, of course, let's not forget about it, is the new strains of the coronavirus. There's a UK variant. There's a South Africa variant. There's a new one in California. Hold on a second here. I thought calling it the China virus is racist. It's okay to say UK or South Africa? And I think California might be a race in itself. Been there a few times. I'm not going to argue with that. All right. Thank you, Bob. Says conversion on the road to Damascus is not being fooled by it. Mary, you've been hanging on the line as well. You're playing a You Make the Call. Bob says this is a conversion on the road to Damascus. Prime Minister really doesn't mean it. What do you think about that?
Well, that ballerina didn't listen to the military a year ago when he was advised by our military to shut down the borders. Now we're in this mess. Furthermore, yep. He keeps making more deals with China with the vaccine, and they're backing out and dilly-dallying while we have two Michaels rotting away in prison in China for no reason at all. That guy's got to put on a tutu when he gets in front of the cameras. Electoral. Yeah, he's dilly-dallying for an election, and I hope the NDP wakes
all right,
up
Bob.
And stops supporting him.
All right, got you, Bob. Thank you for making the call. Bob, very strong Mario, very strong on this one. I got a whack of callers. I'm going to try to get through as I can. I got Maureen calling in from Scarborough. Maureen, I got a few callers here that aren't giving the Prime Minister credit. Don't you think he's making a pretty gutsy move?
Hello, Tim.
Maureen, I got you from Scarborough.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Yes, what the Prime Minister doing, it's right. But I agree for the COVID testing, but... is not people not to pay that $2,000 who left a while ago. He should make it a law that who left from February 1st, when you come back, you pay that $2,000 to the hotel. But that is cruel and unfair to people who left before.
Yeah, that's a good point, Maureen. I'm sorry I got to cut you off there, Maureen, because I got one last caller here, John from St. Catharines. Maureen, I think, makes an excellent point there. People who are already out of the country, is it fair now to impose this on them retroactively? Especially, you know what? That's not a cheap price tag, a few grand to stay in a government-approved hotel. Okay, John, I'll give you the last 30 seconds. You're the final word on You Make the Call.
Hey, Tim, how you doing?
Good, great, John. Just give it to me straight here, 20 seconds.
Okay, I think he's got the right idea. I don't know what all the fuss is, why they're giving him a hard time, because everybody coming into Canada has got to be tested. And I don't understand why everybody's saying, well, why didn't he cut it down here? Why didn't he cut it? He has. He's told everybody, stay home, and this is what you got to do when you come back. So I think he's,
all right,
he's done the
thanks.
Right thing.
I got to wrap it that, John from St. Catharines. Thanks, Blaine. You make the call. All right, I'm out of time. I'll tell you what the score on the text board is. It was going too fast. I couldn't keep up. Thanks for all the text messages. Hot issue. Bold move by the Prime Minister. I'll tell you what you said, if he's right, if he's wrong, or if he's too late, and I'll give you my take. And then I'm going to talk about gas prices. I got some good news for you and some bad news. I kind of think they're both bad news. I'll let you decide. It's 527.
You're listening to Tim Hudak on the iHeartRadio Talk Network. This is the iHeartRadio Talk Network, and you're listening to Tim Hudak.
Well, I really love about doing this show is to put a hot issue out there, gauge public opinion, check it against, my gut, of where I think opinion is going to be. And this is one of the hottest ones I've seen. I thought the curfew was a scorching issue. I couldn't catch up with the text. Appreciate those who sent messages in. My producer, Joey Roselli, is going through just to give you a read on the percent of those that liked what Trudeau's doing, who didn't, and who thought it was too little, too late. Here's what the Canadian Snowbirds have to say, by the way. They represent all the snowbirds there in Florida and the southern states. The Canadian Snowbird Association is supportive of point-of-entry testing for COVID-19. At all Canadian airports and land crossings. However, they are firmly opposed to the imminent mandatory hotel quarantine measure to be imposed by the federal government. The CSA believes that the current quarantine protocols should remain in place and travelers should be permitted to quarantine in their own home. They go on to say that many of these measures are unknown and they'll let their members know. And there are listeners in Florida. I got a message here from Tom, who says he's enjoying the show from sunny Florida and all things there. Here we go. Hi, Tim, listening to you and enjoying your show. Everything down here, very civilized in Venice, Florida. Tom, you might want to extend your stay well past April and avoid staying in a pretty expensive hotel. It'll only be one of those nice ones in Niagara Falls overlooking the waterfalls either, Tom. Look, I think that no doubt about it, Trudeau was very slow on this. It was a huge chink in his armor when we saw those flights coming in from other countries like Haiti. You may remember I talked about this. My wife and daughters and I were down in California before March break. This started to spread. They said, Canadians, come home. So I said, all right, we'll listen to Prime Minister Trudeau. Booked a red eye, drove up to San Francisco and got home, did the quarantine thing. But we got there, right? And we're expecting to see, you know, this protocol and all these officers telling us to quarantine and checking us. And there's no tests or anything. It seemed, aside from some signage, just like a walk in the park. We saw a lot of international travelers coming through. The airport was packed that day. So too little, too late. I suspect a lot of you said that. I'll get the word later from Joey. I think that that's true. Let me point out, too, didn't lefties also say that travel bans are racist? And now the Prime Minister imposing one targeted at the Caribbean, in Mexico, right? Like, just actually narrowing countries. Another little bit of hypocrisy in here, along with the whole thing about UK variant or South African variant, but the China virus is wrong. Look, I think that they're right. I support these tests. I don't understand why we don't have more rapid tests. That seems like the best way to handle these things right there on the spot. I know they're not as efficient as a full test, but I'd love to see a lot more rapid testing, particularly they're doing it now, thank God, in long-term care homes. But I got to ask you, is really stacking up seniors in hotel rooms all crowded together a good policy? Like, we're punishing them, I guess, for going away. But do you really think that stacking them all up in facilities when we're trying to prevent spread in other populations of seniors, does that make a tremendous amount of sense? Look, I think it's to returning Canadians. This does seem cruel and overreach foreign visitors. Okay. They're doing that in the UK for high-risk countries. Australia has done something similar. This is not out of the ordinary. But man, whacking grandma and grandpa snowbird when they've got a vaccine in their arms and stacking them up in hotels, not so sure. And all in all, this just makes me nervous about how eager we are to strip away others' rights and freedoms and play to fear and play to envy. But we'll go on with more on this. I'm guessing this is pretty popular with you folks. All right, so we got about 75% think this was too late. about, I was guessing about 84. I bet you this is about 84% of the population will like this policy. The callers and the texters, sorry, 70% or so agree with the prime minister on this. 30% are on the other side. All right, so gas prices are going up. So Debbie and I, my wife Debbie and I had really nice little escape, little date. We went for a walk along the shores of Lake Erie. It was cold, but it was nice. It was very romantic. It was her idea, God bless her, and had a lovely time. Left the girls at home because they're all sort of, you know, bundled together there in the house and the online homeschooling. I'm going to talk about that next segment, by the way, my complaints about that, and ask you how your experience is going so far. And then head to the grocery store to pick up the groceries for the weekend. And gas was like $1.07. I'm used to being in the low 90s. So I said, no, I filled up like $10 just to get me to the grocery store and back. Deb uses the car for a similar grocery store run a few days later. And she puts in a little bit more because it was down $1.09. And then today it's like $1.10, $1.11. So what's going on with gas prices? Got it spoiled for a long period of time? You have the same experience? 877-518-5151 or text me at 71010. What's with the jump? I mean, we're not traveling as much now, are we? Hardly at all. We're supposed to be in lockdown, stay at home, aside from trips for groceries, for example, or walks along the shores of Lake Erie. But why do gas prices go up so quickly? 877-518-5151 or text me at 71010. Well, according to some research that I have done, it's actually supposed to be a good news. The gas prices have gone up because there's upward pressure on crude oil prices. People actually in the investment world are betting that the vaccine spread is going to go much better. It is in other countries, not so much Canada right now. And that will help with COVID, that numbers all in all are receding in most places. And while there's concern about variants, they're betting for a business resurgence. And as such, they're bidding up the price of oil. They're seeing emerging signs of more traffic on the highways, more shipments, the signs of the economy not revving up, but at least has the engine started again. So, yeah, you're paying more at the pump. I'm paying more at the pump. But that's supposed to be good news. So shelling out a few extra dollars, it's a sign that things are going to be improving down the road. I don't have this, by the way, but at GasBuddy.com, they do a good job explaining of all of this, what's behind the increase in gas prices in the States, 30 cents a gallon, and states like Missouri and Florida leading the way, probably because of more economic activity in those states, Wisconsin, Iowa, Georgia, similar. But all right, so that's the good news. You got it? Yeah, the good news is that gas prices are going up. The bad news is that's going to be pretty nasty. What happens if the governor of Michigan acts on the demands of environmentalists and some First Nations to close down a pipeline for Enbridge that links Canada and the U.S.? Why does that matter to you? Well, Dan McTeague was on the Mark Tui show earlier on today. And Dan is, of course, the president now of the Canadians for Affordable Energy. Here's what he had to say about why you should care about what the governor of Michigan is doing.
She has taken away the right of way from under the lake bed, if you will, or the straits. And in that regard, she's likely to try to suggest that the right of way would no longer have any legal effect. It was given to you in 1953. You can no longer have it. Obviously, it will be before the courts. Enbridge rightly has told them to go stuff a bird. And I think in that context, we could be seeing a battle. But the danger looms, not just with respect to the change in Congress and who has the ultimate authority here. If she is successful, then we have a very serious problem on our hands in less than 90 days.
A text came in that says, I blame Donald Trump for the gas increases. When I saw them going up, my instinct was to blame Joe Biden. It was that way. I thought maybe something he was doing about limiting drilling and, you know, increasing prices of gas and oil in the States would be part of his policy. I said, kicked in already? No, it turns out that the economy is doing better, but why should we care about what's happening in Michigan? Dan McTeague on the Mark Tui show went on to explain what the impact is in the province of Ontario if this line gets stopped.
You have 100 gas stations, only 10 are going to get any fuel. It'll be lineups, but it will bring Ontario's economy, not just in terms of transportation, to its knees at that part of summer when summer driving starts to pick up. It's also going to affect the petrochemical sector. So think here of any company dealing with plastics, ethanes, any company that's dealing with the industrial needs of Ontario and Quebec. All that is now gone. And in fact, it's not just Ontario that'd be affected. a lot of this oil makes its way through the Line 9 Enbridge line, which Line 5 connects to at the Canadian border. That pipeline sends oil to the Montreal refinery, the Suncor refinery. That, too, will be badly affected. So, all in all, Mark, there just won't be any. What's the impact? No fuel means your economy shuts down. And all those folks out there have been wishing for our green economy to kick in, and I think that renewables can replace this. Good luck with that, because there is no alternative.
All right, fire up the wind farms, get the snow off those solar panels, and put what? I don't know. Ethanol in your tank? No, this counts too. We'll keep an eye on that. That's a little bit ominous, and it just shows how closely tied we are. And if we had built that energy east, it wouldn't have been such an issue. All right, coming up next, we've been, what, 6 weeks in online schooling? I'm pulling my hair out. What's your experience been? And I'll tell you about a letter that I received from our district school board that tells me that parents have become the problem children in the online classroom. I bet you've seen the same. It's 5:41.
You're listening to Tim Hudak on the iHeartRadio Talk Network. The conversation continues with Tim Hudak on the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
All right. It starts out, you know, polite and nice enough, and the kind of tone we usually get from the Toronto Catholic District School Board, where my daughters Miller and Maitland attend. Dear parents / guardians, we would like to take this opportunity to extend our sincere thanks and appreciation for your ongoing support of Toronto Catholic District School Board and serving as key partners in Catholic education. Hey, that sounds nice. This was January 25th, by the way. Parents and guardians are the children's first educators. True. Never before has this been more evident than during this time when parent-guardian engagement has taken on a distinct new meaning in ensuring the continuity and success of your child's education in a virtual setting. You're damn right that's true. This ain't easy. Debbie's doing most of the work. But holy smokes, you're trying to monitor your kid, you know, be a parent, do your job, and be a practically full-time teacher or principal. We remain committed, the letter says, to student and staff safety and well-being. God bless you. Our work together is vital to nurture safe, welcoming, accepting, and caring Catholic school communities in a virtual setting during periods of mandatory self-isolation. That's nice, right? That's a nice enough letter. Okay, they're warming me up. What comes next? Bam! They remind me of the Toronto Catholic District School Board Code of Conduct. Have there been some violations out there, followed by the learning environment, an environment that reflects, quote, respect and dignity for all, ensuring the safety of privacy of students and such. And then they start listing the student expectations. And the big one, the most of the letter, you know, all that sugar at the top. What you got to swallow here is parent guardian expectations. You must treat this classroom as if students were attending in person in a brick and mortar school. Parent guardians are not, all caps, are not to interrupt or enter into the virtual classroom during direct instructional time or synchronous learning. This is the big reason they did the polite letter off the top. Parents and guardians are not, all caps, I will stress that, to interrupt or enter into the virtual classroom. What has your experience been in the virtual classroom? Are you finding that it's the nosy, disruptive, overreaching helicopter parents are now in your face for online learning, all coming across a Zoom or Google Classroom, whatever you have? Any stories you want to share with me about the conduct of parents jumping into the classroom that would produce a letter like this? 877-518-5151. Text me at 71010. Again, 877-518-5151. What have you seen in terms of how parents are acting in the online and classroom? And, you know, I wasn't really surprised to see this letter come across. In fact, if I were them, I would do without the niceties of the opening several paragraphs and just get right into what the point is. That we have far too many parents who feel their role is to lecture the kids, far too many parents who are hitting the microphone, taking off mute, and asking the teacher direct questions or answering for their kids. And parents going on social media to complain about what's happening in the classroom using personal information. You seeing some of that? Or do you think parents have a right to do that? Are they actually getting an eye into the classroom and getting disappointed in the way that the teachers are handling the students? So their only venue is to run to Facebook or Twitter and to complain. 877-518-5151 or text at 710-10. So I can't believe, well, I guess I can't, because you do witness some of this. But the Toronto Catholic District School Board, and maybe you've got a letter like this from your school board, goes on to lay out that parents and guardians are not to use the chat feature within the virtual platform to address concerns. And pretty strong line here. As outlined in the Education Act, Section 212, Sub 1, it is an offense for any person to willfully interrupt or disquiet the proceedings of a school or a class. So this is actually the virtual version of some parent bursting into the classroom, lecturing the teacher, telling the kids to shut up, or giving the kid answers. You seeing this? You think this is justified? Or is this an overreaction of a school board trying to protect their staff from being held accountable? 877-518-5151 or text at 710-10. You know what? Maitland is in grade one, and Miller in grade eight. As such, in grade eight, Miller far more independent. Really doesn't have to come to get us at any time. We're both in the home. I'm CEO of the Ontario Real Estate Association, working from home. Deb runs her own consulting business, so she's working from home. And because Maitland's in grade one, Miller is fine. Miller is independent. Oh, there's other aspects I'll talk about later on about online learning. But Maitland, we need somebody there with her, really, from the time that her class bell, virtual bell, goes off at 8:45 right through 3. Why is that? Well, one of the ways they have it set up is that each teacher is using a different system. And I don't get this. Is this your experience with your online learning wherever you are in the province? So, you know, one teacher uses one particular Zoom link, the homeroom teacher, easy to get to. But then when phys ed comes in, we have to leap over to Google Classroom. When the French class takes place, we have to go to another Zoom link altogether, and a fourth one for the occasional music class. Now, library pops into the main link. So, you know, I guess we could get Maitland doing that more of her own, but it's not working that way. So why is it not that the teachers will come to the students as they would physically in the classroom, as opposed to all of the students transferring over? And we found that almost on a daily basis, because of technology, somebody doesn't make the link. Somebody does not make the leap over to the other system. Then there are delays on that, trying to figure all this stuff out. Parents madly texting each other. And the bottom line is, and this is really 90% of the time, that Debbie has to be around Maitland right throughout the day. Now, I'm trying to arrange my schedule so I can do that some of the time as well. And I have. I should probably do more of that. Actually, I'm on duty as a TA tomorrow. But it really sucks up the time of the parents. But you also get a window in to see how other parents are acting. I screwed up the one time. I will confess, I didn't know we were off mute. Miller was walking by, and I yell at the Miller to grab me a water or something like that. I can't remember what it was. And Maitland's grade one teacher says, Maitland, would you mind pressing mute on your screen? Because we heard that. But you do hear in the background of parents coaching their kids, interrupting the classroom, using the chat feature. Isn't this pretty basic? I mean, shouldn't you learn better manners than to be interrupting the class on a daily basis? Here's a text comes in from Hamilton here. It's absolutely justified, Tim. If a parent is interrupting the class, they are undermining the teacher's authority in front of the rest of the kids, sending the wrong reaction. Another one says from Brooklyn, Ontario, huge overreaction, Tim. Holy geez, you can't throw the Education Act at someone who's trying to learn in their kitchen table during a pandemic. A friend of mine is a grade four teacher, writes a listener from the GTA. She had to make a private phone call to the parents of one child to stop feeding the kid. And finally, West Guildford. So you folks seem to think this is an overreaction. It's good to keep an eye on the social justice BS ideology being pushed. Well, you do get a window. You do get a window into the classroom, I say to my friend there from West Guilford, so you can actually see. And we think that Maitland's grade one teacher is doing a phenomenal job. In fact, she's quite funny. She's adorable with the kids. She controls the class well. She had them disciplined pretty fast as well to use the mute and camera on features. I don't like it that they have to hop around to others. And quite frankly, other teachers, they're seem to just be calling it in. You do get an insight to how hard they try and how much they've tried to adapt to the online world or try to jam in the existing in-person world as best as possible into the online. And I get that if it's maybe for 1 week or two, but for this extended stay, I would have expected far more from our teachers and from our education ministry and the school boards. But none of that excuses parents from interrupting, from yelling to disrupt the class, to disrespect the teacher, nor go online. Take it up with the principal. Call the teacher to account, not during the class, but after. So I actually don't blame the district school board. I welcomed it because, well, I think they're going to go a little bit longer. I don't think it'll be till February 15th till we're actually back in class for the harder hit area. So what do I think all in all? Well, I think this online education has actually been quite lousy. There's a lousy way to do it. It has been, with some exceptions, poorly planned, makeshift. The fact that there's not one single system for the kids to stay in a virtual class, and they've not corrected that now for this time, is a real shame. And if you need extra help, as one of my daughters tends to need, it's almost impossible to get that extra help. Everything takes longer, and it puts an incredible burden on families. And I think when we see that the spread among young people is so low, the risk of their health is low, the risk of they'll transmit it is so low, let's just get back on it. I'm happy to see more classes are engaging on Monday, some more last week. I hope the other school boards will be back. My prediction to you, though, friends, for the bigger school boards in Peel, York, Toronto, Hamilton, I wouldn't be surprised. We're looking till after the family day, the weekend. All right, that's my escape, my experience. Hope it gets better. That's it. That's all. Time for dinner with Miller and Maitland. I've said my piece. Until next Sunday, happy end of January. It's now 5:57.